Well, it's the heart of summer now, and it's time for a quick summer challenge update for Compassion Radio. First of all, thanks to all of you who have accepted our challenge to join our vision team for the first time. We're making progress on our goal of at least 200 new vision team partners before September 1. Compassion Radio giving partners make it possible for us to also have special ministry projects, like Bibles for China, Door of Hope in South Africa, or the Treasure Audio Bible Project, which places audio Bibles in some of the most remote places around the world. These powerful partnerships and projects happen because you make Compassion Radio possible, and we're here to tell you all about it. If you haven't before, please consider joining our vision team to support one of the most unique media missions in the world today. Just choose an amount that suits your faith and God's provision. Frank will tell you how to do that later in the program. God bless you, friends. And now, to today's story.
Last time on Compassion Radio.
If we refuse to put others on pedestals and isolate them from ourselves, then the question becomes, if that power is really alive in them, and they're really like me, why is the power of God not alive in me? If it's really, truly, truly true, and it's alive in others, we have to face the reality that something may be holding us back from experiencing that kind of power. And I'm not talking about the power to go out there and be an evangelist or a great speaker or all the worldly things that entrance people or intrigue them. I'm just talking about being able to be an honest witness for something that you've experienced.
Welcome back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us as Bram and his wife Sandy continue with their study entitled Chasing the Word Together. Go ahead and turn to chapter 14 and we'll get things started.
Well, I want to read verse 22 again and then continue verse 22 because I only read the first part of it. In each place, they brought strength to the disciples, encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Paul and Barnabas told them, "We must go through many persecutions as we enter the kingdom of God." So they're telling them, this is the way to enter the kingdom of God. We're going to have to go through these persecutions. There's going to be opposition at every turn, and we have to walk through it in faithfulness.
And that last part of verse 22 is in quotation marks, which means that the writer says we need to hear the words of Paul and Barnabas there. And in this translation, it says, they kept saying, it is through many tribulations and hardships that we must enter the kingdom of God. In this translation, the nuance is, it's not just about Paul and Barnabas. But it very much is their experience. He is also saying that there are going to be kinds of tribulations and persecutions and difficulties that come to any believer who wants to follow God, not just from the outside, but all the way into the kingdom. And we've talked a lot about what the kingdom is on this program over the years. I believe it has a foreshadowing on this earth and this life with the family of God who is alive on the earth at this time. That is the kingdom. To enter into that fellowship, to enter into the saints group, to be in the middle of that fellowship and know your home and that you have your tribe, so to speak. It's not easy because you are stepping out of something and maybe stepping through some difficult things to get there. Maybe a shaking of your whole psyche or an abandonment of your other hopes and dreams that you thought might be fulfilling in your life and you realize they're dust compared to the glory of God. Whatever it is, stepping into the kingdom is not always or should be an easy thing. At the same time, it's not impossible. And God can make miracles happen in our hearts and our lives, in our circumstances, to make it possible for us to join with those who truly follow and love Him in this world. And then on the spiritual level, it's like an inheritance given to us early. And we have to experience it and taste it and live it before we even pass on. So that heaven comes alive on earth in this way. When you're with people who love Jesus and you're in the worship and the experience of the Holy Spirit around you, man, that's heavenly in the most literal sense.
Well, in each church that they went to, going back through these cities they had visited previously, they spoke these words to them. And this is what they call encouragement.
Yeah. Encouragement that you will have to suffer.
Right. So they appointed leaders, they prayed and fasted together, and they entrusted them to the Lord in whom they had come to believe.
Yeah. So the people they left behind that were so rattled by the violence that was perpetrated against Paul and the shifting around and all the uprisings that were happening in the cities, the total disruption of the common decency and the civil accord that was there, that's all been torn apart. And so they're blaming Paul and Barnabas for all this. They turn right back around, march through these villages. And as they come back, the word of God has been taking root in their absence. people start really talking hard about what does this mean? What does this truth really, really mean? And they're coming to deeper faith. By the time Paul and Barnabas get back to these cities, there are people ready to step up and say, I'm willing. I'll suffer this too if necessary, because what you say has the words and the power of life in them.
I think we should point out that these people did not have the scripture that we have.
No.
They did not have the words of Jesus in red in their Bibles.
Right.
They didn't have the book of Acts or Hebrews or any of these. They had nothing from the New Testament, obviously. Some may have had access to the scrolls of Isaiah and the Psalms.
They might have been able to be purchased in the marketplace. I don't know.
Well, if they were able to access them through the synagogue, we don't know.
Yeah, there may have been synagogues that were open and friendly to anybody who wanted to come, and they could read them there. Mm-hmm. We don't know how deep they were able to actually read the word, but my guess is that not many people had really read through the scriptures that were available completely.
My point in that is, you and I have been to places where we have actually given Bibles to people for the first time.
Yeah.
And let me just say, those were some of the most committed believers I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
People that have never held a Bible, people that were a lot older than me.
Yeah.
Who'd never had a Bible, but had loved Jesus for 50 or 60 years and spoke of him as if they had just met him.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so encouraged by that. There's part of me that is greatly encouraged and motivated by that, and part of me is shamed.
Mm.
I think how often I don't have time to read my Bible, or, oh, this is not the translation that I want to read it from, or whatever. And I read passages like this. I really think about passages like this and realize they didn't have the scripture that we have. And yet they remained so faithful to loving Jesus, spending time in worship and prayer
and
loving each other
and
learning things that came to them.
Yeah, I think I marveled the most about our trip to China this past year was that there were so many believers who were committed disciples that knew the word and they'd never had it.
Mm-hmm.
How could that possibly really happen other than the Holy Spirit making it evident to their hearts that this is true? A direct revelation of sorts, so that when others would speak of the word or have a copy of it and read from it to them, their spirit would resonate with that and say, yes, that's the word of God.
Right.
So it wasn't even so much that they were learning the word of God, they were recognizing the word of God as it came to them in written form. And they would also have the discernment of the Holy Spirit before they even had a printed Bible. If a falsehood, a heresy, a contradiction to the gospel that includes the Christ that is dependent upon him, would come at them and try to get them off base, the spirit that was already within them was able to steer them right and say, that's false. But what joy comes when you have not only the Spirit of God and the promise, but then his gift wrap book to you as well. And that's what I always marvel about. When they receive the Word of God, they're not receiving something they do not know. They're receiving the book that comes from the one they do know.
Mm, I like that.
The gospel that's coming alive, like you're saying here in these cities of southern Turkey, at that time, it was alive in them because they recognized the word who was God. And now the word from God would become the printed word that enables them to keep growing and to carry that story to us today.
Mm. Well, Paul and Barnabas have traveled a lot in those last few chapters.
Yeah.
We've seen them go from Antioch in Syria, around Cyprus, and back up into Turkey. And
it reads like highlights of a travelogue, but we don't really know the time frame.
Right. It probably took them months to do all of this. In verse 24, they then passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. They preached their message in Perga and then went to the port of Attalia. There, they set sail for Antioch, which is where they were first entrusted to the grace of God for the mission they had now completed. The Holy Spirit revealed to them, you have completed this message.
Done.
This is done. It's time to go back and maybe rest, maybe have a Sabbath.
Give a report.
Mm-hmm. But when they got back to Antioch, they called the church together and they reported all that God had done with and through them, how God had welcomed outsiders to the doorway of faith. They stayed with the disciples in Antioch for quite a while. I like that phrase, how God had welcomed outsiders through the doorway of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've talked about this before, but if you are not a Jew by birth, you're an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes me. And we were welcomed in the door of faith. I love that because a doorway is a welcoming thing.
Yep.
You know, many people on their homes have a sign that says, welcome and come into our home. And this is like God's welcoming.
God threw out the welcome mat.
Mm-hmm.
And we think about entering into a household through the doorway. You're not a servant. You're not coming around the backside to make a delivery or to receive something secondhand or get the garbage being thrown out. You're being invited in the front door, which means stay a while. Let's have a meal together. Mm-hmm. You're going to get fed. You're going to leave refreshed. That's what being part of the family is. And if we're not feeling refreshed by being with the people that claim to be Jesus, then a couple things need to happen, I think. If you're not finding welcome, you either have to discern from the Holy Spirit, it's time to move to those who are welcoming to you because they know the Word of God, or you need to be the first person to do the welcoming and introduce a new spirit into the midst of those who claim to follow Jesus. And I can't tell you how many times I hear from people as we travel that it was the welcome of the people that I knew I was home. They at least talk about being home with those people. Mm-hmm. It's not never been about the buildings. It has been about the people. And I've asked evangelists and people that have traveled between countries where there is technically no welcome, no legal way of bringing the gospel in. Yet when they enter in, they ask God to reveal to them the house of peace, the man of peace in the village, so they can go make friends with them and bless them so that their house can be a place of peace and a place where the gospel can flourish. And they make a home with the people who are pursuing peace, and therefore make it a place of safety and refuge for souls, for others who will come discover them and become friends with them.
Well, as we've traveled around the world and been in cultures that are not like our own culture, been in church services that are very different than we're accustomed to, we have felt that welcome. I just want to speak of a recent time for me was when I was in Uganda back in April. We went to a women's center and we were doing a retreat for the women there and we began to worship, just singing worship songs. We thought it would be fun to have them sing a worship song in Lugandan. And then we would sing a worship song in English and we would, you know, back and forth. Most of them could speak English very well and understood and were able to sing with us.
We always seem to be at a disadvantage
greatly,
on these things. Yeah.
Greatly. And I wish I could remember the song they sang, but it was a very familiar song. And they were singing it in Lugandan and we were singing the same song in English. And there was such a spirit of unity there and it was so sweet. It felt like home. It felt like family. And I think that is what you're talking about, that you go into a place that is maybe an unfamiliar place, but because of the Spirit of God in the people that are there and the Spirit of God in you, it bears witness. And there is a spirit of unity there that says you belong together. You belong in the household of faith. You have been welcomed in.
You feel like God's paying attention to you when you enter places like that because you see Jesus in the eyes of the people that are there and they're looking you in the eye. They're not afraid of you, not ashamed of you. And that was true of us in traveling places like China. The believers there look you right in the eye.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Coming up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria as they chase the word together here on Compassion Radio.
This is Cher Nelson. This 75th year of broadcasting is very important and emotional for us. Important because God is opening new opportunities and new places for us to be able to share the compassion of Christ to the persecuted but triumphant church around the world, and to take God's word to people who have never heard or read. And emotional because we are challenged to preserve the amazing legacy of the ministry first Wilbur Nelson and then Norm left with us. Norm left us much sooner and more suddenly than any of us anticipated, and we have earnestly endeavored to continue the path that was laid down before us. But we're facing a difficult financial season, and we don't have the warm and trustworthy voice of Norm to tell you how much we need your support. But Wilbur always said in times of financial need, ask the Lord and tell the people. And so that's what we're doing, asking the Lord to touch hearts and telling you, we need your partnership, not just your money, but your prayer-covered partnership giving, especially if you can join our vision team with a monthly pledge. But if you believe in our working together, we need your support however and whenever you can, and especially this month. Please, dear friends, will you help us?
To support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. Or you can write P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And last but not least, you can text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And thank you so very much.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Compassion Radio is here not just to teach the truth, but to provide you with opportunities to do the truth. That's why we've built and supported an orphanage in Hong Kong, provided beds for homeless children in India, counseled street kids in Hollywood, ministered to widows, carried Bibles into China and Vietnam, helped establish churches and provide Bibles in Indonesia, North Korea, and Southeast Asia, provided sight for the blind in Africa, aided refugees from Kosovo, and given tens of thousands of dollars to feed the hungry. Our goal is to teach the word clearly and accurately, always applying that word to building the kingdom. And we invite you to join our family as we learn together, witness together, and serve together. Please go to CompassionRadio.com today to find out more about this ministry. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com.
With Graham Floria.
Let me cycle back around to the beginning of the chapter now as our closing note. Paul's looking at a man who's been paralyzed all his life. We read here that that man, he's looking Paul in the eye. It says that Paul saw in his eyes that he had faith to be healed. Something was going on the spiritual level where I think God was revealing to Paul's heart and mind, this one's ready. They're ready to make that move, and I'm going to show you how big a move I can make in that man's life. Mm-hmm. Paul, without hesitation, tells him, not in his own words, but Jesus himself saying, stand up. If the kind of God Paul's talking about is real, he could heal me. I think that's the kind of thought that was going through his mind. I'm certain that Jesus heard that prayer and said, you bet I am.
Yeah.
So what kind of infirmities are we facing? We feel stifled or paralyzed in, and we're trying to listen intently to the word and say, I want a God who can heal me, who can do miracles, who can transform these circumstances, who can do the impossible. That's the kind of God I want to know. That's the kind of God I want to worship. Anybody, you maybe listening to this program, that experiences that kind of longing, the word that we've been reading today from the chapter 14 of Acts tells you God hears that kind of prayer, and you can call out to him, and God is calling you into real healing. So I just want to encourage you in that, friends. If you are in that position where you know in your heart of hearts that God is calling you into something big, let me be brave enough in the words of Paul to say, stand up. Maybe God wants you to dance and wants you, because of your very testimony, to disrupt the status quo where you are. I don't know what your circumstances are, but I want you to know that Sandy and I are committed to talking about enjoying, experiencing, and sharing the kind of God that does these kind of things. We know there may be consequences that are not pleasant farther down the road for those who are willing to take those risks, but they're always worth the risk. And that's what I'm learning from Paul and Barnabas. Let's pray as we close out this chapter, honey, and look forward to the other amazing things that God's going to bring about in the chapters to come. Your Father, I thank you so much for the power of your word come to life. And that when we talk about the word that was being preached by Paul and Barnabas across the ancient world, it was a living word. It was you that was speaking through them to reveal what the past mysteries had been written into, had been encoded into scriptures that went back hundreds and thousands of years. And they spoke it as a living story to those who had never heard this truth before. Some from the religious authorities and the good religious people responded. And many others who had never even considered that you have a word for them responded as well. And it changed everything. God, I thank you that you can still do it today, and you are doing it today. And for the hearts and minds of listeners that are on the program with us with their ears right now, I just pray that you would help them to reach out in the same way. If they need a healing touch from you or an experience of your spirit, that they would pray it honestly to you now, that you would honestly hear it, and that you would show it to them that you heard them somehow today, and give them a touch of your presence even as we're praying right now, so that they would know that you love them and you are with them and have always loved them and always will, and that you want yourself to be so close to them that you're willing to step right across that threshold into their hearts if they'll open up to them. So on behalf of those, Lord, that are asking for you to come that close, I say, Lord, come.
Yes.
And come quickly. Come inside and take up residence here in the spaces that seem so empty or dark. And bring life to those who are reaching out to you maybe for the first time right now. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, that's it for chapter 14, hon. We are at the halfway mark. So much more good stuff coming. And I'm so thankful that we can keep refocusing on the truth that God cares about, knows about, invests himself in the circumstances where people find themselves then and now and in the days to come.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. and that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.